In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you were going to start a religious movement, you might not want to do your consulting work with John the Baptizer, because it looks like he goes about this thing all wrong. In the first place, he goes not where the centers of population are to get, you know, a big audience. He's out in the desert. There's nobody out there. A couple people by accident heard him and told some other people, and pretty soon people were going out there. So that was kind of strange. In the second place, he seems to attract the riffraff. He's got poor people, he's got tax collectors, and he's got Roman soldiers. Now, the tax collectors were especially low on the totem pole because of two reasons. One, they were collecting taxes for a foreign government, for the Roman Empire. And secondly, they were by and large crooked. It was a system rife with corruption, because they were given an area and they had to collect a certain denarii amount for that area, like let's say Madison County, and say, okay, we need to collect $1 million taxes from Madison County. Well, if they collected $1.5 million, they just put the extra $500,000 in their pocket, and they could make people pay up because they had the backing of Roman soldiers to twist their arm and extort them into doing it. So they were not very popular. And then, of course, you had the Roman soldiers who, you know, occupying forces. They were not popular either. So John's talking to all these people. And then when the people do come out that might have done him some good, you know, people that had a little money, people had a little influence, religious leaders, what does he say to them? You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits that are worthy of repentance. And don't tell me you're children of Abraham. God can make children of Abraham from these rocks. Thank you for sharing, John. And these were the people that, you know, might have had some influence, done some good. He talked to them about a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And when John talks about repentance, he doesn't mean that you just mutter, I'm sorry. John means the true meaning of that word. It translates to, repentance translates to turn around. If you're going this way, repentance means go that way. 180 degree turn. Repentance is the highway sign with the big U on it, the U-turn signal. Repentance is when your GPS in your car is giving you directions and it says to you, you are going the wrong way. As soon as possible, make a legal U-turn. That's repentance. As soon as possible, make a legal U-turn. You're going the wrong way. So when people heard that, oddly enough, though, it worked. People started going out into the desert and they started hearing him. People from the city going out there, they thought maybe John was the Messiah. They asked him that. John said, I can't even untie his sandals. I'm not even, in athletic terms, we'd say, I'm not even worthy to carry his jock strap. No, it's not me. The one who's coming with to baptize you with the Spirit and with fire, the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He said, no, that's not me. And what he was trying to get across to them is that they needed to turn around. And they said to him, well, what then should we do? And John pretty much let them know, you already kind of know what to do, don't you? That's not really the issue. If you've got two coats, what do you think you should do? Give one of them to somebody who has none. And if you got food, what should you do? Give it to somebody who has none. And if you're a tax collector, quit extorting people. Just take what you're supposed to take. If you're a soldier, quit torturing, extorting, and raping. Deal with people justly and be content with your wages. You already know what to do. And that's probably true for most of us too. The issue, I'm sorry to say, isn't for most of us that we don't know what we should be doing. We just don't want to do it. Here's an example. When I used to be in the drug alcohol treatment center, we'd have family week. Family members would come in and tell the addicted patient what they had really been like, not their delusional thinking of what they thought they had been like. They would give them the real story. And then the next day, the patients would come into group and they would say, wow, I didn't realize it was that bad. You know, what can I'd like to change, but I just don't know how. Really? You don't? Yeah, you kind of do know how. So if you've been drinking and chasing around town and never home with your family, what's the opposite of that? Because on its simplest level, repent means do the opposite. So what's the opposite of that? Stay home, get sober and stay home. Well, I spent all the money on cocaine. Well, what's the opposite of that? Get off coke, start a savings account. You know, I've got this. It's always the opposite. Most of us, we already know what it is we're supposed to do if we think about it. We're supposed to do the opposite of that thing, which is the problem. It's not that hard. John got very specific with him. And the Lord can get very specific with us too. There are times when there's a crack in our spirit and the Lord can get in. I can remember sitting in Chaplain Al Shervey's office when I was a chaplain resident, and he had confronted me on an issue of false pride. Not that I ever had any of that, but and I just remember sitting there, and all of a sudden tears started rolling down my face. And I said, what then should I do? And he said, you already know what to do. You just don't want to do it. And he was right. And there are times when God's Spirit can get to us. And sometimes it will be very specific. I talked to a pastor who said they went to a mission trip in Central America. One of the parishioners went downtown to get a Coca-Cola. She was missing that. And she was there sipping on her Coke, and the little boy was looking at her intently. And she said, well, would you like a Coke too? And he said, no, I would like some bread to feed my family. And she said, oh. She went back. She said, what's wrong with me? What can I do? And she became a local champion for world hunger in their food pantry and out beyond that in world hunger. And sometimes the Lord gets to us. And then, I don't know what it might be. Maybe it's that we would work in the food pantry or the clothing warehouse, or maybe we would become a tutor mentor to some kid who needs it, or maybe we would visit some folks in nursing homes or shut-ins who don't get many visits and would like to have that. Or maybe we decide that we need to bury the hatchet with our sister-in-law. And I don't mean in her skull. I mean, you know, to be reconciled to her and take care of that. Whatever it is, we know basically what the things are. And maybe sometimes it's just character defects that we look and say, like me, I see the issue of false pride. Or maybe it's dishonesty in our thinking. We're kind of kidding ourselves. Or maybe it's anger and resentments and grudges or intolerance. We don't like people who do things differently than we do because, you know, they're obviously wrong. Or maybe it's impatience. Or maybe it's oversensitivity. You know, we tell a joke on somebody else, it's a heck of a joke. They tell a joke on us, not very stinking funny. Or maybe it's self-pity. You know, poor me, poor me, pour me another drink. That's where the addicts always wind up. Whatever it is, the Lord may get very specific with us as to what we need to do to change. Now, a lot of people hear John the Baptizer, and I had to laugh this morning when we got done with the text, and he said, and with many other words, he preached to them the good news. I think, wow, and that's the good news? That sounds a little harsh. But you got to think about this. John wasn't just saying, you have to stop doing these things. You have to turn away from these things. He was also saying, you can turn towards some other things that are going to make your life better. It's not just that he was a killjoy. He was saying, these are the things that make your life miserable. You can turn away from those, and you can turn to other things. You can turn from materialism to the joy of giving to other people. You can turn from dishonesty to feeling good when you look in the mirror because you're honest with yourself and others. You can change from being kind of one of benign comfortability to excited involvement with people in God's world. Those are things that would make us better, and that's the good news, that the Lord isn't just saying, you got to get rid of these things because I got some rules, but this is what's going to make your life better, going to make it worthwhile. So John was a guy who afflicted the comfortable and comforted the afflicted. And he was the guy that in the season of Advent, we need to listen to the baptizer, because he was one who was talking about preparing for the Lord to come into your hearts. And that's what this season is for. Let John the Baptizer's words wash over you in this season and take an inventory and say, I know what it is, but what am I going to do about it? Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.